Welcome back to the Patriot Leadership Podcast. I'm Lonnie Buckner. I'm your host. Appreciate you so much for checking back in with us and listening to the show. If you would take a moment to look down at your phone and share the show with somebody you know, text it to them, send them a link to the show, help us spread the word. It really would mean a lot to us. You've probably noticed recently that there's been a lack of episodes here in the last few weeks. I've had a couple of scheduling issues with speakers and things like that. That's thrown a wrench in the operation, but no big deal. We're getting back on track. In the next few weeks, we've got a couple of interesting guests coming up that I'll talk about here in a second. But before we do that, take a minute, check out the website, PatriotLeadershipAdvisors.com. You can see the different services and things that are offered there. Look around your business. Sometimes it's a matter of maybe you just need help in dealing with a certain situation with a challenging employee or maybe a challenging supervisor of your own. And maybe you need a little bit of advice or some guidance or help in trying to figure out how to navigate that situation. You may have a team of managers in your organization and you want to help further develop their leadership. That way they can have a greater impact on the organization and on your teams there. Those are certainly things that we can help do. And also, there may be some issues with structure, organization, processes and procedures, and things like that inside the organization that just aren't right, maybe need some tweaking, and you want somebody from the with a different perspective to come in and take a look. And those are things that we're more than capable and qualified to do. And it's interesting in a lot of organizations where when you're in that every day, you're in that fight every day, it's hard to detach and step back and kind of see what are some of the things that maybe we're missing here. And I see it and hear it a lot where maybe the structure inside the business doesn't make sense anymore. The company has grown perhaps and the roles, responsibilities and things don't really make sense anymore. And that's causing some frustrations to employees, customers, things like that. Those are all things that we can help with. So check out the website and maybe you know somebody, a friend or a colleague in another business that may need that. Have them reach out to us. Check out the website. In the coming weeks, I mentioned some other guests. And I'm going to run through those real quick and kind of who they are and give you an idea what you can look forward to. One of the guests we'll be talking with soon is Harrison Bernstein, who authored the book Everyday Coach. You can find that on Amazon and other places. Harrison started a company called Soldiers to Sidelines, and this program helps take veterans, puts them through a formal coaching certification program to help get them into the world of coaching and helping kids in sports. And it's not just this could be anywhere from middle school, high school, collegiate, or even professional athletics. Harrison has a lot of contacts in collegiate and professional sports and can certainly help with that. He was himself a three-time All-American safety at Johns Hopkins University. He was also a strength and conditioning coach in the NFL for a while, and now he's really focused on the Soldiers to Sidelines program. And so I'm really looking forward to having him on. Another guest we have coming up is a gentleman by the name of Ed Everts. He has a podcast called the Be Brave at Work podcast and a book titled Drive Your Career. And Ed is one that's been in the coaching consulting space for a while and offers some good advice. And check out that podcast for sure, the Be Brave at Work podcast. He has some interesting guests and some interesting topics there as far as things in the workplace. And then another person coming up is a gentleman by the name of Rich Deviney. Rich has a brand new book out that's called The Attributes. And I had a chance to check that out last month. Great book. Talks about the different attributes that are important in leadership and just life in general. And I'm going to read quickly a bio that was kind of a press release bio for Rich that was put out when he was as a guest on another show. I'll kind of read that to you and then talk through it just a little bit. And part of Rich's book is what we're going to talk about today. We'll kind of work through this. So I'll read this excerpt real quick. So Rich Deviney is a retired Navy SEAL commander who served over 20 years in the SEAL teams and deployed 11 times to Iraq and Afghanistan. He was also the officer in charge of training for one of the world's premier special operations units, where he spearheaded the creation of a directorate where the best of the best special operations soldiers practiced the physical, mental, and emotional disciplines of flow states and peak performance. He led a team that designed the Mind Gym, a cutting-edge facility that helped special operators strengthen and enhance their mind to perform faster, longer, and more effectively, especially in high-pressure environments. Since retiring from the Navy, Rich has worked as a speaker and consultant with the Chapman & Company Leadership Institute and the Simon Sinek, Inc. Corporation. Rich is also the author of a new book, which I just mentioned, which was released at the end of January, called The Attributes, 25 Hidden Drivers of Optimal Performance. So again, if you get a chance, check out the book. I think you'll enjoy it. We're gonna go through a little bit of it today, and then hope to have him on here real soon. We've been in contact, just trying to kind of work through his schedule. He's been pretty busy with some appearances in different places. But going back to kind of that intro that I read about Rich, and you can Google him and find out, you know, more about his background. But basically, so he was a Navy SEAL for his whole career. And not only was he a SEAL, but he was part of another level of SEALs where they have, you know, they have different names that they go by. You've heard of SEAL Team 6, I'm sure, or Dev Gru or Development Group. They have other names, but basically they take proven Navy SEALs who've been in the teams, maybe have multiple deployments. They have some minimum requirements. They have to have, I think, a minimum 5 years of service and some other things. And he kind of talks about that in the book. But they come highly recommended, highly successful as Navy SEALs, which is obviously pretty selective and challenging to get into in the first place. And then these guys come to this special unit that Rich was a commander at and part of the training and selection program for. And they put these guys through another set and a long period of further training and introduce them to some types of training maybe they haven't seen before or some different scenarios and kind of evaluate whether or not, you know, they're cut out for this even more elite tier one operator group that they're trying out for. And one of the things he talks about is, you know, here you have these guys that come from, you know, the Navy SEAL teams that were top performers, and they come to his, this training program, and 50% of them wouldn't make it. He talks about how hard, you know, that conversation is to have with these guys and really just had to sit down and look them in the eye and say, you know, sorry, dude, you just didn't cut it. And a lot of times that didn't sit well, you know, guys didn't understand. And Rich couldn't exactly quantify, you know, why it was that they didn't make it or why they weren't successful other than, sorry, you just weren't good enough. And then these guys, these SEALs would go back to their normal SEAL platoons and carry on. But a lot of times their commanders were searching for answers also. You know, they wanted to know, you know, how is it that this guy didn't make it? You know, he was our best guy maybe. And they weren't satisfied with that answer either of, hey, your guy just wasn't good enough. They wanted a more detailed and more thorough answer as to why these guys weren't making it through the program. And also for the life of the program, too, they really did need to kind of quantify that and be able to explain exactly why and what led to somebody not being, maybe good enough to be in the program. So they did some studies and came up with some reasons why guys weren't making it. And that's kind of how they came to these attributes. They noticed that there was a difference between skills and attributes. And, you know, all of these guys, you know, came in as, you know, great divers or great marksmen and things like that. And it was never these guys, you know, weren't dropping out because they couldn't shoot well enough or couldn't swim great, you know, good enough. It was other things. It was humility. It was, you know, how did they perform in stressful situations? You know, what kind of perseverance did they have, adaptability, and some other attributes. And once they were able to kind of start measuring the candidates that way, they were then able to kind of relay back, not only to the individual, but to their leadership as to why these guys weren't making it. And I think then it started making more sense. So I'm going to run through the way they sort of broke that down in the book. So there was a couple of overarching sort of categories. And then within those categories, there was a handful of specific attributes. And so you had the grit category, which was made up of things like courage, perseverance, and adaptability. You had mental acuity, that category, which was things like situational awareness, compartmentalization, task switching. Another category was drive, which was self-efficacy, discipline, open-mindedness. You had a leadership category that had attributes such as empathy, selflessness, authenticity, and accountability. And then you had another category called team ability, which was the attributes of integrity, humility, humor, things like that. And all of these things are important. And, you know, it's not as if, maybe some are, some are more important than others, but some of these guys, you know, weren't making it through the program because, maybe it was one of these items. They may have been great in a lot of other areas, but in order to really be successful in the type of work that they were doing, they really wanted them to be well-rounded. And I want to talk about a couple of these real quick that just kind of jumped out to me. And some of these you don't necessarily hear a lot, but one of them is authenticity. And in the book, Rich talks about authenticity as, in his opinion, maybe being the most important attribute for a leader. And I can definitely see his point and tend to agree. And it's interesting because that's not always one. I mean, yeah, I think most people get that it's important, but it's not always one that people would bring up initially in a conversation about attributes and of leaders and things like that. But as he says, you know, people have to feel that you're genuine and you are who you are and you're not putting on, you know, some kind of front or some game. And I've mentioned this early on in other podcast episodes that I've done about my own leadership. Early on in my career as a young Marine and a young leader, I was trying to be the type of leader that I thought my leadership wanted. And I was acting and behaving in a way that I thought they liked, and they did like it. They were, it got me promoted relatively quickly and, you know, awards and all this kind of stuff, but I could have actually been just as successful or even more had I just been myself and didn't try to portray this image that I thought that my leadership wanted. And that's something that I learned. Again, I've talked about that in other podcasts, kind of as my leadership journey. I learned lessons about that along the way. People see through that. People know if you're putting on a face or if you're being your true self. And because as a leader, people watch you. More than you say, people watch what you do. And when you're in a position of leadership, everybody's watching you all the time. And they know who you are. You can pretend and try to fake it. And eventually, once people observe you for long enough, they'll know who the real you is. And it's actually kind of funny because you've all seen it. You've worked with people like that, or you've done it. We've all done it. And you feel silly afterwards when you look back. Or you look at, you know, your boss or maybe one that you've had before that is doing this, and you know, and it's silly, and you just wonder, like, Why aren't you just being yourself? Because, you know, you can be a hard ass if you're in charge and you're kind of one of those people that's very serious and it's all about work. And actually, Rich talks about this in his book where he says, you know, he had a commander at one point who was a guy that was very tough to deal with. He was extremely serious all the time. He never showed, you know, much of a personality. He wasn't interested in really getting to know you that much. It was all work and he never seemed to be happy. And so initially, you know, he talks about how that was challenging, but after a while, he understood that that's just how this guy is. That's truly his personality. And after he accepted that, it was actually easier to work with the guy because the guy was consistent. He knew every day how to work with this guy, and he just had to tailor his own behavior to work with it. And I think, you know, most of us would probably prefer that. You know, nobody likes coming to work and not being sure, you know, is the boss in a good mood today? How do we, you know, what's going to happen? That's a terrible feeling. You know, it's like being a kid not knowing how, you know, if your dad's going to be pissed when he comes home from work. That sucks. You know, when somebody is consistent in their behavior, it makes it very easy to work with them or to be around them because you just know what you're going to get. And you know that that's their real self. And when you know that, this is the most important part. Then you can trust them as a leader because you know that's who they are. You can work with that. But when somebody hides who they really are and puts on a facade, that's, after a while, that's tough to deal with. I actually had that in a company I worked at a while ago. The guy in charge of the company there and the owner of the company there was very much this way. He was very insecure, but he tried to hide it, you know, behind the tough guy exterior. But everybody knew it. It was very obvious. But he hid his true self, and I don't even know if he knew who his true self was, but he hid who he was from everybody and put on this persona. But the funny thing was, he changed that persona all the time. From week to week, you didn't know what guy you were going to deal with. He could have a completely different opinion or take on the same subject from week to week and was so inconsistent, you had no idea which way was up with this guy. And it was extremely frustrating for everybody that ever had to deal with him. And the other part is he was never honest. He was always lying. And so you could never believe anything about the guy. It was all fake and all phony. And the sad part is everybody knew it. And that was one of the challenges I had because I would be honest with him. And he really didn't like that. So, of course, I don't work there anymore. So going back to this authenticity piece, and with that guy, even, you know, he one little story about that, you know, he used to say, you know, his kids played sports and things like that, and he would always stand, you know, at a basketball game, he would stand right in the doorway of the gym. But when he would talk to us about going to things in public like that, he would always say, you know, I go sit up at the top of the bleachers, or I go sit in the back because I don't want to be bothered by people. I want to just sit there and watch the game. And that was never true at all. He just didn't expect sometimes that most of us in the room would ever be there. But I would go sometimes and support my friend's kids. And what's funny is this guy would always be standing in the doorway. And he did it because everybody had to address him as they went by. He wanted to make sure everybody saw him and everybody had to walk right past him and greet him. He did the same thing at football games. He would stand right at the gate where everybody had to come in and go out and make sure that everyone saw him and everyone had to greet him as they walked by. Or if they didn't greet him, then he kind of knew, all right, I don't like that guy and I know where I stand with that guy. But the point of the story is that he would lie about it and try to hide what he was doing, and it never made any sense. But again, that that type of behavior makes nobody that works with you trust you. They don't even know who you are because you won't be honest. And again, everybody knows. You're not fooling anybody. When people are around you for just a little bit of time, all your little cracks in your armor start to show up and people know. So just be yourself and people can respect that. I worked with another guy. I had a boss when I was in the Marine Corps that was kind of stuffy, where almost like that commander that Rich talked about, where he was kind of quirky and awkward, almost socially awkward, but he was very smart. And he was very polite, extremely courteous, very professional. But he was kind of short with you. He didn't want to really engage in normal conversation. You know, he'd talk about work, but he didn't want to talk to you, kind of personally or whatever. But the thing is with him is that's who he was. He was genuine. That's exactly who he was. He wasn't hiding anything. He wasn't acting like somebody he wasn't. And once you got to know him, you're like, that's fine. I can work with this guy. I know what to expect when I show up to work every day. This guy is going to be the same no matter what. And I think that's sort of the thing that most people want. You know, if you're consistent, then that really helps people be able to work with you, trust you, and really, really make them feel comfortable in working with you. Another one of the attributes that Rich covers that I wanted to go over a little bit today underneath the leadership category that he has is accountability. And this is a couple of different ways we're going to kind of look at this, but accountability from the standpoint of a personal accountability, taking responsibility for your own actions. And again, that's tough for a lot of us, and I think a lot of people genuinely try, but it's hard. But as a leader, especially, this accountability piece is huge. And it goes back to the point about trust, which is really the foundation of leadership. People have to trust you to want to feel comfortable following you. And for them to trust you, you're going to have to take some accountability because none of us are perfect. We're humans. We mess stuff up. We make mistakes. We hurt people's feelings. We do things wrong. We do things we wish we wouldn't have done. Those are all part of normal human behaviors. But the difference is, how do you handle it? And again, back to the selection program that Rich is dealing with here, these are the factors that set these people apart. They were all in great shape. They could all run fast, shoot straight, swim well, jump out of airplanes. They could all do that, or they wouldn't have been SEALs in the first place. The difference to the next level are some of these other things. And with accountability, going back to a guy that I worked for in the past, in a position of leadership, there was a situation where, he had some stuff going on in his personal life, but it also spilled over into work. Everybody, again, knew it. It's a small community. And he refused to ever take responsibility for his actions or accept responsibility and hold himself accountable. And all it would have taken is, going even to his senior management team, go, hey, listen, guys, I made some mistakes here, or I've done some things that I'm not happy about or proud of. But I'm working on it and I'm going to get better. And I appreciate, everything you guys do here. Something that simple goes a long way with your team. When you've taken accountability for things that you've messed up. And again, you're going to have this happen at some point. You're never going to be a leader and then never have to do this. It's going to happen. You're going to overlook somebody. You're going to step on somebody's toes. You're going to say something that maybe you shouldn't have said. Maybe you overreacted to something. It's going to happen because you're not perfect. None of us are. You're going to make these leadership mistakes. Again, the difference is, what do you do about it? And taking accountability and going to those people and apologizing and accepting that's the key. This accountability piece is huge. And so once you can do that, and I think that's one of the biggest problems that people in positions of leadership have is they think that the expectation is that they're supposed to be perfect. And the truth is nobody expects that because they know it's not possible. So stop fooling yourself into thinking that's what you're supposed to be. You're going to screw it up. It's okay. People will respect you way more when you admit to it and take accountability and move on. That's the key. So, but then also in leadership positions, this key with accountability is in the ability to hold others accountable and just ensuring accountability in the world that you live in and what you, in the areas that you're responsible for inside your workplace. Holding employees accountable, holding teammates accountable to a standard, and then how you do that matters. And so that was one of the big keys that I took away from the book here, was one of the areas that, you know, some of these guys lacked, which again led to them not making it through this selection process. The last attribute that I want to talk about from the book, which falls under the mental acuity section that he outlined here, which included situational awareness, compartmentalization, task switching, and some others. But the one I wanted to kind of talk about real quick was situational awareness. And again, depending on where you work and the environment that you work in, it can be a little bit different. But a lot of it is just in dealing with other people, being able to sort of read the room and understand the temperature of the room, those sorts of things, and really knowing how to react next, thinking before you react. You know, there's a guy I worked with before. There's kind of two guys. They're very similar. It's interesting. One was a manager of a department. He had about 14 people he was responsible for. And he had a lot of technical knowledge and expertise in the type of work that his department did, which, you know, a lot of times gets people to move up and become managers. But what I noticed with him in the role that he was in was, and frankly made him struggle as a leader, was this lack of situational awareness. He almost didn't notice what was ever going on and what was appropriate, what was inappropriate. There was times where I was his supervisor. He would walk in my office. He would knock. He would just walk in. He would already be talking on his cell phone to somebody else. And he would walk into my office and just walk across the room and start looking out the window as he's on the phone with somebody. And I'm just sitting there working, or maybe I was already on the phone. And he just acts like he just walked into the janitor's closet, like looking for some towels or something. And I'm looking at him like, can I help you, dude? Like, what are you doing? And he would always look at me, and he did this all the time. And every time I would end up sitting down and talking about it a little bit. And, you know, it wasn't like I was high and mighty and nobody could come to my office, but it was just a matter of, I mean, it's just impolite and rude and inappropriate. Like, nobody just walks into people's space like that and blows them off. And most people would never do that to their supervisor. I mean, it's just a lack of respect. But every time I would say something to him, like, what are you doing? Or what were you thinking? I could tell he didn't even understand. He looked at me like I was the jerk for even saying something. Like, what's the big deal, bro? Like, he just couldn't get it. And he would look at me every time with this stare of like, I don't get it. I don't know what the big deal is. And so there was times he would do that. There was other times where, and you got to remember, in like a construction environment, you know, he would come to work randomly dressed up. And you're like, what do you, like, this is a construction company. Why are you wearing a suit today? You know, it's like, it was just completely out of place. And it was that lack of self-awareness where you're like, or situational awareness where you're like, dude, like, look around, bro. Like, nobody's dressing like that here. And I understand the whole dress for the job you want and all that kind of thing. This wasn't that. This was more of a flashy, you know, look at me kind of situation. And it was just, again, a complete lack of situational awareness to understand what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And no matter how many times I talked to him about it, you could just tell it didn't click. He just didn't get why it was a big deal. And there's another guy I work with that was very much the same way. Again, very smart, very talented in the job that he did. But when it came to dealing with others, you know, something like walking through kind of the common areas at work, being really loud on his phone, or he's one of those guys that always has his phone on ring and the volume up high, and inevitably in every meeting it goes off every time. And you're like, dude, do you not, like, you're the only one. And this happens once a week or twice a week, and he never gets it. And it happens every time. And it's just that complete lack of situational awareness. And you could tell this guy, you know, multiple times, and it just wouldn't matter. He just wouldn't get it. One of the other things that guy would do that I always kind of thought was just funny is walking through, again, like the office spaces at work, he'd be on the phone, on his cell phone with somebody, and just talking really loud, and everybody could hear his conversation. And he has his own office with a door. But instead, he would stand right outside of somebody else's office, you know, just a few feet from their door, and just have this loud, you know, 10-minute conversation with somebody and interrupt everyone else in the workplace. And you're like, dude, look around, bro. Everybody's working. Other people are trying to have phone calls or whatever and get their jobs done. You have your own workplace. Go in your office and shut the door and have some respect for everyone else around you. But some people like that, they don't have the situational awareness to understand that what they're doing is bothersome. And again, this was the kind of stuff that Rich and his teammates would pick up on with these new candidates. And sometimes it would be too much and they'd be disqualified from the program because of things like this. Because of the seriousness of their job, the type of work they were doing, situational awareness is obviously a big deal when you're working in dangerous parts of the world and have the type of missions that they do. That's a big one for them. And so that was the type of thing that would quickly get you dismissed from their type of program. So, okay, well, today we talked about Rich DeVinney's book, The Attributes. Again, looking to have him on the show here really soon, just trying to work out some scheduling items, but I'd highly recommend the book. One of the things that he does talk about in the book that I haven't mentioned yet is he talks a lot about the neuroscience behind these attributes and why we do the things we do or why we don't do some of these things. And it's really interesting, the research that he's done on this. You can see he's done some recent interviews since the book's been released. He had a live Q&A with Simon Sinek the other day. It was really good, just talking about the book and again, some of this neuroscience. It's very interesting. But again, we're trying to have him on the next few weeks. So if you get a chance, check the book out. I think you'll really like it. And then I think you'll enjoy that episode much more if you've read the book. And then you get a chance to hear from Rich, and we'll ask a bunch of these questions. But again, also a couple of the other guests, if you could check out either their podcast or their books, that'd be awesome too. Again, that was Ed Everts, the Be Brave at Work podcast. He also has a book that's called Drive Your Career. And then Harrison Bernstein, the Everyday Coach, Soldiers to Sidelines. He's doing a lot of great stuff over there, helping veterans get into coaching and stuff like that. And one note that Harrison told me was with his book, all of the proceeds from the book Everyday Coach are going to help veterans programs. So I think it's pretty awesome what he's doing over there. So if you see that, you know, his book, I think maybe costs $25. The price is up there like that for that reason. All of that money is going to help veterans programs. He's not getting anything from it. I think it's very noteworthy what he's doing there. And I think you'll like what Harrison's doing also. And he has a podcast as well, and you can find him on LinkedIn, and he's got a pretty big social media presence too. But we look forward to having you tune in next time. Again, appreciate everybody listening. Don't forget to check out the website, patriotleadershipadvisors.com. If you know someone or you need some help in your business, we can help through effective leadership. We can help with the structure, processes, procedures, and all these things, you know, in turn help your employees feel better about the workplace. Customers will feel the difference. And ultimately, you know, with a more efficient workplace, happier employees, a better culture, you're going to generate more revenue. And I think that's the goal that most business owners have. But you can do that at the same time having a winning culture that people want to be part of. And I think that's the key. But again, patriotleadershipadvisors.com. Be sure to check it out. And we'll talk to everybody soon.